Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Travion Henderson, I understand. You see the Ohio State highlights, you see the kickoff in the preseason, you hear some of the practice reports about how he's really good. Most of it was in the passing game. What have people seen so far that makes them think that Travion Henderson needs the ball more? I mean, just to let people know, Travion Henderson to this point is 39th out of 40 running backs with a negative 1.94 rush yards over expected. That's in the whole league. The only other guy is some guy on the Panthers, who I barely heard of. He got a chance in that game. He rushed 11 times and averaged 2.5 yards per carry.
Greg Bedard bringing the numbers.
Yeah, I kind of got a little lost in the sauce there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of numbers above and below expected.
Let me tell you, yeah. I don't think Henderson has looked great.
He has not.
I thought he was fine week one. He couldn't break away from any tackles and had no space week one.
Right.
But he was very involved. He didn't do anything against the Dolphins. He got benched, actually, against the Dolphins because he couldn't pass protect. And then last week, I didn't think he did much when he had an opportunity with two of the running backs ahead of him. For the most part, benched. Stevenson got a couple of snaps in the second half, but for the most part, benched. That said, Carolina is a year ago was historically bad in run defense. Travis Etienne ran all over him in week one this year. They're giving up more yards per carry this year than they did last year when they were dead last in that stat.
Oh, they're ripe for the picking.
Assuming that Ramondre Stevenson, and I would bench him, Antonio Gibson fumbled last week, assuming that Travion Henderson is at the top of the depth chart. Did you see the practice video the other day? He was getting the first handoff.
Was he really?
Then Gibson, then Stevenson.
Good.
Hopefully the punishment runs deeper than just reprimanding them in practice.
Yeah.
If Travion Henderson's the lead guy this week, you shouldn't be fearful of it, Mike Vrabel. I don't care what the numbers are in the first three games, Greg Bedard. And if you can't trust him this week, I don't really get why you drafted him at 38. This is the spot to do it. Bad run defense. The other guys are fumbling. He deserves the opportunity. This is where you turn him loose.
Seems like a no-brainer to me. You know, week one, he had 11 total touches between the run and the pass game.
Yeah, he was involved week one.
Yeah. Didn't do much with it. Week two, only five. You mentioned the playing time getting taken away.
Got flagged a couple of times because he couldn't pass block and got benched. Yeah.
And then last week, had a career-high 11 carries and also had three more catches. And so one thing about him, and I know these are short passes, but every time he's been thrown to, he's caught it. It's been at least a productive play. But 3.4 yards a carry, running it is not good. He's not making anybody miss. He's running right at guys, it seems like, and he's going down pretty much on first contact. And based on the preseason, and obviously the kick return touchdown was great, but even just him, you know, running up the sideline, catching a wheel route, or, you know, just he ran really hard, and you're like, all right, this is one guy they have that can score a touchdown from anywhere on the field. They went the last several years without even having that guy on the roster. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, I think he can do it. Because Steph Diggs, more possession right now. Maybe Kayshon Boutte can do that. Maybe. Of the running backs, though, you're like, no. It's Henderson. And with both of the other guys fumbling, like, it is such a – it's just on a tee for him for this week. But I think – I wonder if McDaniels and Vrabel already have their mind made up on like when they're going to put Stevenson in the game, or is it, let's see how good Henderson is. But if Henderson misses a block, has another holding, or is running right into the line of scrimmage again, we need to win this game.
Yep.
We can't just send a message to Stevenson, because Stevenson has had more big plays than Henderson has this year.
So I was just looking this up. If you want to go on the positive side for Travion Henderson, he's second on the team in yards after the catch. First is Stevenson, so that does speak to Stevenson and some of the explosive
awesome
plays he's had.
Yeah,
and even before he got benched last week, he had a couple of big conversions in the passing game. But Travion Henderson is second on the team yards after catch, and he's whatever, one, two, three, he's fifth on the team, I think, in receptions. So it's not just he's racked up a bunch of receptions, right, and he's going to get the most yards after the catch. The downside would be five different players have run the ball this year for the Patriots. Three of them are running backs. And everybody else is averaging more yards per carry than him. 4.5 for Gibson, 4.1 for May. I know those are different kinds of runs. Pop Douglas has a carry for 4 yards, and Ramondre is averaging 4 yards a carry. Travion Henderson, as you said, Keith, is down at 3.4. Mm-hmm. And his game is elusiveness and speed. And I haven't seen him make many guys miss. No. So, you know, that's a nitpick. That's a gripe. He hasn't been great the first 3 weeks. That doesn't mean he can't be great. But this is the opportunity. And I would turn him loose against Carolina, partly because I think it's a good matchup to run the football. And the other part is the other guys don't deserve it based on their fumbles.
No, they don't. And then I guess the argument would be, like, does he really deserve it? Is he getting more reps based just on what else is going on around him? Kind of. But what I would do is I would stick with him if it's the – if it's, you know, getting, like, tackled early at around the line. That's something that would be like, all right, maybe he's still going to break one. If he's messing up every pass protection, then I get it. Like, if you're impacting all the other plays, then at that point, like, you probably got to sit him down.
That's true. But again, then, like, what are you teaching him? Or what did you do with the misevaluation? Because the book on Travion Henderson is he could pass protect. That was, like, a big plus.
Oh, McDaniels was even saying how, like, guys like White and Vereen, they all had to learn it. They all basically had a red shirt. Guy, like, he's the most ready.
This guy wasn't supposed to learn it. This guy was supposed to know it. So either
you teach it,
either you had a trash evaluation,
yeah,
or trash coaching once you got him here, and you're not teaching it to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but the guy was supposed to be able to pass block. So I don't. If he's not pass blocking, I would look at Vrabel and McDaniels and some of the offensive Tony Dews,
yeah,
some of the offensive coaches, and wonder what the heck they're
going to put this on Tony Dews.
I like to go above that, but he can be on the list as well.
We'll start with Tony Dews,
yeah,
and then we'll work our way up.
So you can discuss that, the Patriots, who gets benched. Big test for Vrabel this week, which we'll get to. Plus a lot of tweets rolling in at Jones and Keefe.
All right. Lots
of feedback on our top five sports mascots.
Obviously, it was a great list. You can check it out.
Yep. Check those out for sure. People also love Terp. It's amazing.
Yeah, Terp's well-liked. I think you want to know why, and this is no disrespect to Terp. No disrespect to Terp.
There it was.
Jesus, Nick. Nick was having a perfect show, too. Blew it.
Out the window.
Blew it.
Like Toronto. You had a no-hitter go until the sixth.
Yeah.
Lost it.
No, Terp may very well be liked on his own.
Yeah.
But it's when he's in a room with us.
Boost the likability.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens.
That's true. Our pal Ray in Cumberland. Terp, good job, like always. Cole on Twitter. Terp got to be on the Mount Rushmore of best current Boston beat writers. That's a real compliment.
Well, that could be a top five Friday.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one. We should do that. That's a good one.
You're like, it's Terp,
that, Scott.
Scott, Bradford. It's like, all right, guys. Like, no, this is all of Boston. It's all about, you can happen to find all of them at WEEI.com, but it's all of Boston.
How about Ella? This is a great compliment, too.
What'd Ella say?
Pure Hoops Talk. Love it. When Turpin joins the show, you call him Turpin.
Turpin?
Yeah.
Justin Turpin.
You know it's serious Celtics insight.
Yeah.
On the market side, it's a good reminder of how team performance drives value, kind of like Aaron Walsh points out.
Okay, bot. Doesn't count.
We're counting bot compliments.
That's a bot compliment. We'll take it. It goes down as a view or a like or whatever. We'll take it.
All right, so shout out to Terp and Aaron Walsh there. Good market insight.
I didn't realize the similarities between the two until now. That's good. Good intel.
Big week for Vrabel, though, Keith. And it's
a massive week.
It's the second time we're saying it in the first month. I keep repeating myself on this.
True.
But we said it going into Miami, and credit to Vrabel and the Pats, they came through with a win. But I'm like, boy, already it's like, you lose this game, we're starting to question everything you do. Then they win against Miami. We stand down. Going into Pittsburgh, Carolina after that, you should get some momentum. And then they lose that game last week in horrific fashion. Penalties, Vrabel crying about the penalties after the game. Turnovers, Vrabel excusing the turnovers after the game. And it's like, boy, you're right back. I don't want to say on the hot seat. That's way too strong. But under the microscope. And it's going to be his personnel decisions. What does he do with Stevenson? What does he do with Pop? Is Christian Gonzalez back in a full go? Is he even back? He's the one who said he sat him down last week. So is Gonzo even back? Have I missed anything today? Have they made an announcement on that yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
So there's that. There's also cleaning up the penalties, cleaning up the turnovers, getting a win going into Buffalo next week, because you don't want to be 1-3 with Buffalo on national TV and a chance to drop to 1-4. You don't want that. So already twice in the first month, we're like, geez, Vrabel's whole operation is already on trial. And I just didn't think we'd be there this early.
Yeah, now this is a massive game because if you go to the worst case scenario and they lose, you're talking about a 1-3 start. You're no different than Gerard Mayo at that point at 1-3. It's three home games. So now you have an uphill climb to even be .500 at home, right? Because you still have to play the Bills at home and you still have a couple of other more difficult home games, I should say, than what you've already faced. Vegas, Miami, Pittsburgh were all kind of coin flip-ish games, right? Yeah. Like, and Carolina's worse than all three of them. And with Buffalo looming, like, we're almost all giving that one a loss. So there's a big difference between starting the year 1-4 and even 2-3. Like, that is the difference of it still being like, all right, we're a third of the way through the season. We're still in this thing. Like, we're still very much in the hunt with the extra wild card. 2-3, you can kind of survive.
2-3 is
well, I don't know if you're surviving 1-4.
No, 2-3 with a loss to Buffalo is kind of the tiebreaker.
But I think Carolina?
We can all wrap our heads around,
right?
I had them at 3-2 through 5 weeks. So if they're 2-3, whatever, they're still in range.
Right.
1-4 feels like a disaster start, especially with all the home games against beatable teams.
And we don't think you're going to have the excuse of your best player not playing, right? We think Christian Gonzalez is going to return. And you have a couple of things that you can really kind of coach up here. It's also like what you do with it. It's not just a regular week. Like your starting running back fumbled twice. One of your receivers failed to pick up the first down at the end, which everybody thought, including the coach himself, that he should have been able to pick up the first down on that play. So what kind of adjustments do you make? You've had these flat starts in each of the losses that you've had. And then you were in those games at the end, but it was like, well, maybe if you didn't have such a bad start, maybe you not, instead of being in the game, you'd win the game. And so, yeah, it's been a frustrating start to the season, but a win on Sunday, I mean, you can at least take a little bit of a breath starting the year 2-2. Like, okay, that's not bad.
Let me give you some good news when it comes to the Pats. And Gonzalez could be on that list as well. Jared Wilson, who had not practiced, we didn't really talk about this all week. Jared Wilson had not been practicing. You're starting left guard, rookie out of Georgia. Hadn't been practicing. Ben Brown was getting all those reps. He is back at practice today.
Huh.
Now, media's only there for stretching, missing 2 days, back on a Friday. He could play. He may not. That could certainly impact, even against a bad Panthers run defense. That's something that could impact it. But taking a spin looking for Gonzo news, he is back out there today on the practice field. We'll get the practice report later on today.
I mean, that'd
we'll
be six practices, and by all accounts, he really wanted to play last week.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, Gonzo,
Vrabel's the one that made the decision.
Gonzo, I expect back. I'm curious where
Wilson checks
in on there as well. So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Look, Henderson, I said it before the draft. I would love to see a second-round pick on this guy. He's a specialty player. You are not going to run this guy first and 10. He's not that kind of guy. He's at speed like I've never seen before. And you use him, especially in the third quarter. The defense is a little tired. He's not going to be that running back right now. And, you know, guys, some teams weren't even going to draft him because they said he's got injury history. He's not a big, tough guy. He's not. But what he brings to this team is not – he's got to learn. He's got to bulk up. They're giving – handed him the ball. And I know the two guys
are
from a
phone. Ralph, he has –
they're handing him the ball first and 10.
He has the same frame as Jahmyr Gibbs. So – and I don't recall injuries for him at Ohio State. Maybe let me look this up.
2022, he played in 8 games. So maybe he missed a couple. But he had 13 as a freshman, 10 as a junior, 16 games, which is crazy how many games they play in college now. Like, if you make the tournament, like you just play more than an NFL season.
I wasn't claiming he never missed the game in college, but I didn't remember that as a big knock on him. His frame, Ralph is right about. But there are other backs with that size and that frame. And I'm not telling you to necessarily give him everything going forward. I'm saying for this week, this is a week to do it. But, you know, they're a small back. Bucky Irving in Tampa is small.
Oh, yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs is the same dimensions. So,
but you can give him the ball on first down. I mean, I'm not giving him the ball 20 times or handing him the ball 20 times. I think he averaged 12.5 yards a carry per game in college. Was still very productive. And they threw to him a lot, too. So I feel like you can give him the ball 10 times. So last week it was 11, but it wasn't very effective.
No.
But that's on him. That's on the line. That's
that
on
was disappointing.
Yeah, that was.
He got benched week 2. Week 3, he kind of got the backfield by default because everybody in front of him got benched.
Yeah.
And he didn't really do anything.
But what would be like, if you're looking at them to be close to 50-50 run pass, give or take, right? Especially if you have the lead, you can more afford to do
that. Yeah, how many carries for Trevion Henderson?
No, how many carries for the team?
Oh.
Let me just ask you this way.
25?
Right. So at first you're like, well, you got to have Stevenson active because if you want to get to 25 carries, not true. You can go 10 with Henderson. You can go 8 with Drake May and then do another 6 or 7 with Antonio Gibson. And you're still hitting that 25 number. So I don't think
6,
yeah. 7 or 8. Good call.
No, but May should factor in. Like May's probably your best consistent runner right now.
Oh, I on a big play, like yeah. a gotta have it play, he's the guy Drake I want running the ball the most. And that acknowledges that he's turnover prone as well.
Uh-huh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I literally focus on the process of what we're trying to do. And I, you know, if we're passing the ball, you know, efficiently, then, you know, I'm not overly concerned about one person or another. And, you know, I'd love for all of them to have 6 catches and 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, it's just unrealistic, you know. Well, 2 weeks ago, Ramondre, you know, is our leading receiver. Last week it's Hunter. A week before it's somebody else. You know, I don't know who it's going to be this week. You know, and I'd like our young quarterback to continue to try to distribute the ball to the person that it's supposed to go to. You know, we involve all of our players in the game plan. Every one of them practices really hard. I think they're unselfish. I think they know that the ball may come to them and it may not. And hopefully, I think the goal for all of us is that we hope that the quarterback is throwing it to the person that's supposed to get it. So, you know, that's the short and long of it is, you know, if you start trying to force it to one person or another, it gets a little bit different, you know, and now you start making mistakes.
That was Josh McDaniels yesterday. Mike Vrabel is going to speak in the next half hour or so. It's a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll check in with Milt the Stilt Williams.
All right, Milt.
Right around 1:15.
No, the milkman. You mean the milkman?
I'm sorry, the milkman.
Oh, Keith.
We also have Keith's Keys.
To the Panthers.
To Pats and Panthers at 1 o'clock. So stay tuned for it. We'll get you the week in review coming up about 15 minutes from now with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We've been talking about Mike Vrabel, his whole operation kind of on trial this weekend. Very winnable game. Pats are the heaviest favorites they've been since 2022 against the Chicago Bears.
How'd that one go?
They did wind up losing that game.
Yeah.
But that year, they were an 8.5-point favorite against the Bears on Monday Night Football in Week 7 of 2022. You may remember that as the game where Mac Jones got benched after 3 series.
And Zappy
Bailey
magic.
Zappy went in, gave him the lead.
Oh, gave him life.
And then Justin Fields went nuts, and they lost 33-14.
Maybe the best game Justin Fields has ever played.
Yeah, maybe.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Yeah.
He was real good Week 1 this year against Pittsburgh.
It wasn't bad.
Very good.
He had that month stretch a couple years ago where I know he's putting up like 50 fantasy points a week.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, don't talk to me about Justin Fields and fantasy. I've owned most of his starts in his life.
He had like a 90-yard running as a Lions.
Okay, but this is the biggest, heaviest favorite they've been since then. So, winnable game, got to get it done. The whole Vrabel operation on trial from how do you handle Stevenson to how do you handle Pop Douglas to what do you do with Christian Gonzalez, etc., etc. Plus, Bryce Young on the road never wins. He's 1-14.
No, he stinks.
In 15 career road starts, which is tied for the second worst quarterback record through 15 road starts going back to 1950. I'm not sure who's worse. The item I saw earlier today says who he's tied with. I'm not sure who's worse.
Road record since 1950.
Somebody who was owned like Aikman early on. Did he lose like a bazillion games? Like
Peyton Manning lost a lot of games as a rookie.
Who's worse? I wish the stat I read earlier had that.
Probably a Brown.
Probably. That's a good guess.
Probably like Brandon Weeden.
But he's tied with Steve DeBerg, Pastorini, and Blake Bortles for the second worst quarterback record in 15 road starts. Pats are heavy favorites. Yikes. So get it done. You got to get
Drake it done. What's Drake May's road record?
What if it's Drake May's?
I mean, he just won in Miami, but I would say, like, overall, it can be great.
I guess it's two wins, right?
Chicago,
they won in
Miami.
Chicago. Yeah, his only two wins.
All right, so actually, he's better. What's his home record?
On the ledger, he's technically credited for more wins that he doesn't deserve.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah,
like, he gets credit
point.
For the Jets game last year where Brissett replaced him.
Yeah.
He gets credit
the
for
Bills.
The Bills win at the end of last year.
That's wild.
Yeah,
it
is
wild. That is wild. You mentioned Ramondre Stevenson. What's your guess on carries for Ramondre in the game on Sunday? And before you answer, this year, seven carries.
Seven!
Yeah, he had seven against the Raiders.
Yeah, week
he
one,
had
yeah.
11 against Miami, and then he had four against Pittsburgh.
He had four against Pittsburgh, and he fumbled twice.
That's right.
Nice.
No, not nice. He's also been a bigger factor in the pass game than I would have guessed.
Honestly, he's been really good in the passing game, which is part of why he didn't fully get benched last week against Pittsburgh. People are like, oh, no, Vrabel sat him down. Vrabel showed him the business. No, he had a couple of snaps where he was out there either as a decoy or for pass blocking purposes.
But I feel like he gets carries. I don't think he'll get any in the first quarter, but I think he does get carries.
Okay.
I think they're going to stick by him.
He shouldn't, but...
I agree. No, we both agree on that,
but
guessing game.
My guess is he will.
Yeah.
So you think he gets carries? What do you think that number is?
Five.
Four again? Yeah.
Five carries, pass to him a couple times, and you just pray to God he holds on to it. They better be praying to God he holds on to it.
That's
if he doesn't, then it's a shame on them.
It's a nice way to live your life.
Just
as head
terrified.
Coach of the New England Patriots, just praying that he holds on to the football.
What do you have more confidence in right now? A ball hit directly to Trevor Story, and he has to throw it to first base.
Oh, no.
Or Ramondre Stevenson's handed the ball.
Well, one man has the yips. The other man I don't think does. So I guess I have more confidence in Ramondre.
He's got butterfingers or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't feel good about Trevor Story throwing over to first
base. It's been an adventure.
Chuck Knoblauch 2.0. I don't feel great about that over there. He's got a longer throw than Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck had a little quick throw. But that probably gets into your head more.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like guys that can have yips at the free throw line, but they don't at the 3-point line.
Yeah, good point.
Right? Because you're so clutch. Like, this is a gimme. It's literally a free throw.
When we talked about this earlier, it is wild that John Lester could just throw it home but couldn't throw to first.
Yeah, 95 miles an hour paint.
Or like,
and then it's like, can you get it over to first? He's like, nope.
Rick Ankiel could uncork one from right field, but couldn't do it from the mound.
It's all mental.
It is wild.
It's a mental thing.
But anyway, I guess my answer to that one is Ramondre Stevenson.
You're more confident in Ramondre Stevenson than Trevor Story?
I'm not.
No, Ramondre after last week.
Trevor Story with a bat, I trust. Trevor Story hucking it over to first base? No.
Trevor Story trying to steal a bag. Give him all the confidence in the world. You can do that.
He's got six errors in the last week.
Yeah.
He has seven this month.
Seven in the month.
Yeah.
Good gravy. Well, let's see if he can turn around. There's only one way to go, and that's up.
We will. Careful with that arm. Like when they're celebrating with the champagne this weekend, in theory, not that you can watch it on Apple TV.
Fingers crossed. You can listen to Will describe it.
Protect that arm.
Yeah.
You can always listen here on WEEI. Do you think the Patriots, speaking of which, clean up their turnover issues? If they're playing Ramondre, that's a dangerous game to clean it up.
No. Yeah. Hold on. I do think they can clean it up.
You did when you made your 60-second video yesterday of how the Patriots will beat the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. You did say they could turn it over up to two times and still win. So you put a cap at two.
Yeah. Well, five is a bit strong.
But
so you're not going to win a lot of games turning it over five times.
But I wouldn't say turning it over two times, even in a win, is cleaning up their turnovers. I wouldn't define it that.
No. No, I don't think, but I also don't know if they go from 5-0. No, it's certainly possible. I look at Drake May, threw a pick week one, did not throw a pick in week two, threw a pick in week three. Obviously, had the fumble, a bad fumble too.
But he could have thrown two or three on Sunday. He did fumble week one, but it was recovered by Will Campbell.
But, you know, second year quarterback, I could see that happening. I could see him going back and forth, like him having a clean game.
Sure.
And then depending on what they do with the backs, you know, those guys could have a clean game because Drake May just has the ball in his hands so many times. Like, we were literally just joking about, Stevenson had four carries and two fumbles. Drake May had the ball between handoffs and pass attempts, 60-something times?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, the percentages of, he might turn it over once, but
two fumbles on four carries is wild.
Is an insane stat. No, I don't think, I do think they'll clean it up. I think Drake May will be better. I wouldn't, you know, guarantee you they have no turnovers, but I have more confidence that it's better, and part of it is the opponent that you're playing.
617-779-7937. We both want Travion Henderson. More of Travion Henderson this weekend. I don't really care that he hasn't been productive the first 3 weeks. Greg Bedard can give us whatever stats he wants. This is the week to do it. And if he can't do it this week, I don't really know what you drafted him for at 38. If you don't trust him to do it this week against a horrific run defense. Mike is in the car on Travion Henderson. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, fellas. I just wanted to call and talk about Henderson because I think his size is fine. I mean, you look at James Cook. He's not even 190 pounds, most explosive back in the division. Then you got A-Chain. He's not a big guy either, Bucky Irvin. And Gibbs carried the load in Detroit all the way to the playoffs when Montgomery went down. I think you got to feed him and just see what the kid can do. He's the most explosive back you got. And I thought his thing coming out of college was he was a good pass blocker. That's why he was, drafted where he was.
Yeah, so that was the book on him, which, again, I wonder what they're coaching him. Like, I wonder what the coaches are doing. This guy was supposed to be ready-made pass blocker. Like, I wonder what the hell they're teaching him out there. Maybe that's a coaching problem with him. What did he say? He's got average size.
He likes his size.
Well, I know. That's what it was.
No, he said he likes his size.
I know there's some images that would say it's quite impressive,
loves
actually.
His size.
Yeah. And look, who are we to?
I think, yeah. I mean,
Magnum Dom.
All right. I think he brings up a good point, though. James Cook, nobody really talks about that with James Cook. He's listed at 5'11", 190. Henderson's listed at 5'10", 202.
Yeah, okay. But James Cook, this year I think James Cook is dominating the backfield touches. Last year they had like three different backs getting touches. I mean, yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome. He splits the backfield with David Montgomery. Who was the other name he said? Achan, for years, split it with Mostert. He's kind of got it this year.
Kind of the lone dog back
there. Gordon's getting the goal line touches.
Yeah, so the point is those other backs. Did you grab him in our league? Is that why you brought him up? Okay.
I'm starting him
this week. Point is with those
I'm
backs.
I'm starting somebody I don't want to start. So
the point is none of those guys are bell cows or have been, I guess more this year with Cook and Achan, but those guys have not been bell cows.
There's fewer and fewer running backs in the league overall that you would say that's a 20 plus carry guy, where back in the day every team had that. Now they weren't all great, but they were like, that's what you expected. You're like, yeah, just give the ball to Marion Butts 20 times. Like, it didn't matter who it was. You're like, that guy you would expect to be 20 carries, and then eventually they got to like third down backs, and then you were like, well, why are we just using the third down back on third down? And then things started to change. But like, how many guys would you really say in the league now would get 20 carries?
Derrick Henry? McCaffrey gets every touch.
McCaffrey, Barkley, Henry.
Henry. Josh Jacobs, maybe.
Oh, Josh Jacobs could, I guess.
I think he does.
He has 20 carries a game?
Oh, I just think no one else gets carries there. I don't know what his actual carry number. I don't think any other backs get carries
back up there. Elijah Wilson or something like that?
Dushku? Elijah Dushku?
Elijah Dushku, I think, is back there. Text message says, why don't we just trade Stevenson? Could probably get a decent receiver in return. No, the time to trade Stevenson is when we wanted to do it in training camp. Now that he's fumbling the football away, I don't think anybody's trading for him.
No.
I'd trade him, though.
Value lower.
I'd trade
right
him.
Now.
Matt's in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Three teams that are all 3-0 have zero turnovers this year. I know it's Buffalo, the Chargers, and whatnot. I forget the last one, but...
Colts, maybe? Tampa?
Tampa. Hmm. So this is dangerous. Always looking at what a team did last week, but Carolina's coming off a 30-0 performance against Atlanta, and
the
Patriots coming off like one of the grossest games they've played. So I think there might the difference might be if they can run Chuba Hubbard, they win that game.
Chuba Hubbard.
All right.
Wait, now Matt, real quick,
Jonathan Taylor, another guy.
Yeah.
What was your stat again? The 3-0
teams with
having
zero turnovers.
I see. Sorry, I misheard what he said. I thought he said all the undefeated teams also had no turnovers. The three teams with no turnovers are all undefeated, is the way he
there
said it.
There are six undefeated teams.
Because I was going to say, the Niners I know have turned it over.
But three of those teams have not turned it over.
Gotcha. The Eagles I've watched turn it over.
So any team that has not turned it over is undefeated.
Correct.
You can also turn it over and be undefeated.
Yeah.
Which would put you on a separate list.
Can we get a Venn diagram of that, Terp? If we could get the overlap there.
Terp.
Yeah, you could.
He's got enough going on with his, like, he's got MS Paint up there trying to figure out the top fives and everything else, the Hoss of the Week.
Thank you. We haven't mentioned that yet. I was just about to bring that
congratulations
up.
Are in order. I think the first time, four-time Hoss of the Week?
Gotta be. I'll have to get in the lab and double-check that. No one else has won this four times.
Garrett Crochet. Awesome performance. Turns out he really, really needed that one.
Hoss of the Year.
As it comes down to the final series.
Hoss of the Year potentially when we do the Jones and Keefe Awards.
Jones and Keefe Awards, January, February, March of next year.
Yeah.
To highlight the best of and some of the worst of 2025.
Yeah.
Hoss of the Year, he's a nominee.
He's up. Him, yeah. I think Tugboat in Tampa, Desmond Watson. I think he'd be a candidate. He was a candidate this week. He didn't win.
What was the guy, the ice truck? What was that guy's name?
Oh, the Iowa Meat
Wagon. Oh, the
wagon?
Iowa Meat Wagon.
The Iowa Meat Truck.
The Meat Truck. That guy.
Yeah, he's in there.
He had to be in the mix. That lobster that we did, that giant, like, 200-pound lobster.
His name, Lorenzo?
Yeah.
Lorenzo the Lobster. Yeah, Lorenzo. He's in there for sure. Yeah, yeah, anybody else?
A lot of good nominees.
Hog deal.
How many nominees? And Hog.
Hog.
How many nominees do we go?
Five.
Five.
Yeah, all that's right. The right number, yeah.
Seven!
That was...
Right, damn it. Right
every
there.
Category needs seven.
It's right there.
It's right there under our noses. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your feedback. And we got the Week in Review next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, Jones, what a week it has been here on Jones and Keith WEEI. And let's start, fittingly, on Monday...
Yeah.
Where everybody screws up. Even me, Jones.
Oh, no.
Even me. Well, occasionally.
Sometimes you lay like a little trap to just test if we're listening. Is that what this was?
No, this time it's Nick's fault.
Oh.
So I screwed up, but it was also Nick's fault.
I do recall this.
If I told you that Mac Jones was going to lead a two-minute drill and Chad Ryland was going to cap it off with a field goal, you would have said, Keith, you're lying. There's no way. But the San Francisco 49ers are 3-0. Mac Jones is 2-0.
Did Chad Ryland get that field goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad Ryland, right?
Yeah, it was him.
Okay, yeah.
I know he missed the kick, but he hit that one.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't not?
I thought they said Pinero, didn't they?
Yep.
Damn it, Nick.
Ryland plays for the Cardinals.
Dump it!
I was like, wait a minute.
Everybody that says
I was like, I don't think that was Chad
Damn
Ryland.
Damn it, Nick!
You set me up! You know I'll read anything in the prompter!
Did I write Chad Ryland to that?
Yes! Nick! You screwed me again! No, it's Eddie Pinheiro.
There it is. Okay, but even still, Mac Jones and Eddie Pinheiro, I would not have thought that was going to happen.
All the people on Twitter who say I don't know ball are right.
Yeah.
That one stung. Chad Ryland in the game, missing kicks for the other team.
Yeah, did you see his kickoff last night cost him the game?
Yeah, that was a tough go.
Short of the landing.
Although their uniforms did look good.
Uniforms popped.
I like the new uniforms.
We uniform policed those weeks and weeks and weeks ago. We were really the first on it. Graded out very well when we did the
head of the curve
fashion police for all these uniforms.
Yeah, head of the curve on that one. But anyway, that was part of our world famous What Happened segment where Mac Jones improved to 2-0. Chad Ryland watched as the 49ers beat the Cardinals. It was a Patriots Monday with Hunter Henry.
Last week, we got a win with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. This week, I know it wasn't a win, but a very good individual performance for you, Hunter. So let's stick with that this week.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
Y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, once again, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1 not surprised at all. Hunter Henry, how surprised were you when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the 2022 Oscars?
Probably 85. I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Wow, we broke it. Broken the scale, Hunter.
I would agree.
I was so 85. Shocked. I didn't remember to turn my microphone
Couldn't
on.
Believe
how
it.
Shocked I was. Wow.
Couldn't believe it.
Ah, wow. I think he kind of doesn't hate the surprise question.
Likes it?
I wouldn't say likes it.
Okay, too hot. He's too strong.
He doesn't hate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chipping away. Find out what else surprises him or doesn't surprise him this Monday. Jones, Tuesday was a very polarizing show, I would say, specifically because we tiered breakfast cereals.
Oh, yeah.
You can see that graphic still on Twitter and on Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. A lot of people not agreeing, although some did agree, but here were some of the cereal tiers.
Okay.
Honey Bunches of Oats.
Trash is filling up.
Honey Bunches of Oats.
These are all honey.
We need a second barrel.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Honeycombs.
Oh my God.
Well, I know you like at least one of these honey ones because you're already making a case like you were Kevin Garnett earlier.
I was good.
Okay. Honeycombs?
That probably trash also.
Trash.
Yeah, probably trash. Yeah, you guys, all the honey can live
what?
In the trash.
Trash. Seriously.
Honey Nut Cheerios?
No. Don't you. No.
Bingo!
No, these are worse.
No!
These
honey
are worse.
Cheerios are way better than regular Cheerios.
No, they're worse than regular Cheerios.
Oh, my God. What?
Yes.
That's nuts.
They're worse. I don't even like them.
You like a sugar-free candy?
Cheerios has been like a number one cereal for eons.
Honey Nut Cheerios those is better. They knew they had to make it better. So, Billy, where do you put Honey Nut Cheerios?
Risky I put him at best.
Ooh,
no! Don't speak for him.
What's the second
thing? Leading the witness.
I'm gonna give me that.
I'm a frisky, but right, I've been
give me that. It is hell okay. Yeah.
It's gotta be at least with Cheerios.
I mean, honestly, I'd put it even low. I put it with all the other. We hate all the honey cereals.
No,
and this is a gimme dad. That makes no
I don't
sense.
Like Graham's
that makes no sense.
Oats or Combs, but I like Cheerios. I just wish they had sugar on them.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're looking at so Terp popped it up on Twitch and YouTube right now. The goat tier is fantastic. I agree with the big four horsemen.
Couldn't have done any better.
Of cereal.
I think we hit Frisky pretty hard, too.
Yeah. Gimme that is where it's like just a blend, because I do not like regular Cheerios or Kix. You're not as high on Honey Nut Cheerios.
Those are delicious.
No, I know that, but I mean,
yeah, Honey Nut
majority
Cheerios.
Rules. So I don't
not
agree about
great.
It.
But what we found out is that there's a lot of bad cereals. I did like we bumped up Special K. From trash to it's all right, just based purely on Cindy Crawford used to market for
them. She did.
Yeah.
And it made the graphic look good.
It
kept them all in one line.
That's true.
As well.
It was balanced. Yeah.
So that helps. You know what we could have done? We did sports mascots top five. Cereal mascots is another easy top five. Look at all those beauties on there.
All right, next Friday.
You got a frog. You got a Dracula.
Cereal mascots.
Yeah.
It's mascot month.
It's also going to be robot year next year.
Oh, yeah.
As the robots are coming to baseball.
I do like your idea of having a real robot out there.
You're not going to argue with a robot, are you? You look pretty stupid arguing with a robot.
Could rip your head off or something like that. I mean, you don't even know what it's capable
of. Mind your business.
I know. Greg is worried about the robot uprising.
Could have laser eyes for all we know.
Could be where it starts.
Yeah, definitely.
The great umpire versus human moment of like 2030 sets off a whole robot uprising.
Right. Remember the 2033 World Series when the robots took over?
We could
start a good movie, actually.
Ushering
That's
crap.
A great.
We shouldn't have said that out loud.
We've done too much.
What would you call
trademark it?
Copyright.
Yeah.
Copyright.
Yeah, we copyright that.
That.
What would you call it? Robot Ups the Revenge.
Baseball 3000. Yeah, right, that's good.
All right, that's if anybody
we're workshopping.
Yeah, if anybody wants to steal that, that's copyrighted.
We circled back and we landed on First Glitch.
Yes.
First Glitch.
Pretty good. That's a good name.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good as the life Charlie Sheen has had, Jones. We stumbled upon this late in the show.
All right, good.
On an interview with Logan Paul, Charlie Sheen claims he's had sex with 47,000 women. Which, first of all, good for them. Good
nice.
For those ladies.
Yeah, yeah. They're
also
lucky ladies.
Get tested. But so 47,000.
Yeah.
He also says that he first made love when he was 15.
Okay.
So he's now 60.
Okay.
So 45 years of lovemaking would be what? How do you possibly
2.8 women a day?
3 women a day? He's making
for
love
45
to 3
years.
He's doing an interview and he's not having sex during that interview. So that's time wasted. He also filmed a ton of movies and TV shows.
Great point.
Which they weren't adult films. They were like 2.5 men. He's on there. How many hours did he waste on 2.5 men?
Maybe that's what he's doing. He sleep with all those women?
Maybe.
The actresses.
So then he left, slept with 3 people. And then went back the next day, did it again.
Yeah.
47,000? That's more than Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, we looked it up. Wilt claimed 20,000.
God bless him.
47,000. Yeah. This is like.
It's unseemly.
I need to. You know what I need to see? And maybe I'd shudder it.
What do you need to see?
Actually,
go ahead.
You know,
I need proof.
Like, I'll take his word.
I'll take his word.
I don't want that.
I'll take
you know
his
how Mark Wahlberg gives us like his daily routine? We know he like wakes up, prays, works out.
Charlie Sheen's daily log? You're like, oh my God.
Yeah,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, on the Sabbath, I rest, of course.
Yeah, he takes one day off.
Yeah, cheat day.
So Denise Richards probably like, we were married for a very long time.
Because this again is not times, this is women.
Not times.
Times.
Women. Even times, you'd probably have to question it.
47,000 women? You would need 47,000 of me to get to that number.
Just an outrageous claim, but what are you going
to
do?
That was a constant off-air topic that day that we brought to air. By the way, we've been topped on the name for the movie, Keith.
What's the movie name?
First Glitch, pretty good. Read that top one.
The Ump Rising.
Damn,
that's good. Right.
Copyright.
All right, you can be a co-producer, that guy.
Robot uprising. Robot uprising.
Robot uprising.
Now
damn
we're talking
it. It was right there.
Yeah, you could be an executive producer there, Texter.
You'd have to imagine Charlie Sheen would have had at least one of his 47,000 times at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, sure.
And the Playboy Mansion very much in the news now, thanks to one of the new co-owners of the New England Patriots.
Although Ken beelined right in and was like, there's a very interesting fact about
very knowledgeable
Dean about Metropolis. Yeah, it's almost like he knew it off the top of his head.
Uh-huh.
He's like, isn't he the guy who his kids bought the Playboy Mansion?
How is that something you would know? The Playboy Mansion, by all accounts,
which, by the way, Ken nailed it.
He was right.
His sons, Evan and Darren Metropolis, the Metropoli boys, purchased the Playboy Mansion for $100 million in 2016. I'd be curious what else came in that agreement. What else comes along with $100 million? Some robes?
Oh, you probably get a few robes. A
couple of robes, cigars.
James Caan. And probably like a venereal disease would be my guess.
Yeah.
I bet you get a... Yeah. I wouldn't want it. To me, it's a poor investment, but listen, I'm not going to tell the Metropolis how to spend their money.
If I bought that first purchase after I buy the Playboy Mansion carpet steamer,
you get one of the three bunnies.
The inspector comes through. He's looking at the roof. He's like, take a look at it. I need... Get a blue light in here. what's going on in this place?
Yikes. So there's that.
Black light.
Yeah, black light. Yeah, black light.
Just picture like Kramer opening the door and it's just red behind him. It's just glowing.
All right, we now have our brag of the week nominees.
Oh, good.
We have three brags. There are many brags this week. We've narrowed it down to three, and then you can decide at home, and you as well here in Studio Jones, who had the best brag of the week.
Sure.
Hello, I'm here.
Sick brag, bro.
But I was at the game, the first Yankees game on Friday, a couple Fridays ago.
Sick brag, bro.
All right, that was a caller named Adam.
Good double brag.
Who was here, and he was at the game against the Yankees.
Good for him.
Was it Greg?
Oh. I was hitting the golf ball better than I have hit the golf ball in quite possibly 7 to 8 years.
Sick brag, bro.
What?
Yeah, that's
five
a weird
or six.
Seven or eight.
No, yeah.
Good ball.
The best he's hit the golf ball in 7 or 8 years.
Did he say seventh?
I was hitting the golf ball better than I have hit the golf ball in quite possibly 7 to 8 years.
7th, 8 years?
Coming in at number third. Maybe, yeah, it's contagious there.
Ryder Cup week. I can see why Greg is locked in.
Also from the morning show, Jermaine Wiggins.
I've ran many a stick routes.
Sick brag, bro.
Okay.
A guy who went to the Sox-Yankee game. A guy hitting a golf ball better than he has in 7 or 8 years. Or a guy who ran many a stick route.
I do like the line of, it was not best of my life.
No, just 7 or 8 years. I mean, 10 years ago, I was way better.
9 years ago, I was, Rory McIlroy.
Prime. Talking late prime.
Let's go with Greg.
Yeah, you're going to go with Greg?
Yeah, let's go
with
Greg.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.